that out.
That'll help us understand what the rest of the year.
I got the possibility, Scott, we might intro that in Dow criteria because we're done a little early.
Look at this. Bro.
Okay, we'll call to order then this congestion relief task force and for April 20th. And let's just do a quick roll call. Who's here that's on the task force? Chuck Bennett.
Jim Lewis, Sangamon City Council, Ward 8.
Chris Hoy, Ward 6.
Terry Cole, ODOT.
Terry Kager, Ward 1.
Julie Fisher, facilitator.
Scott Manser with DTS Associates.
Okay, great. Do we, and then staff and members of the public. Okay, why don't we go ahead with an agenda review and meeting number one, recap.
Excellent. Thank you all for being here. I have meeting minutes for the last meeting that most folks were, actually everybody got the information and dialed in. So, and I just want to go over a few key pieces of the minutes.
So we could have one, though. I didn't get one.
A few things just from the last meeting that we reviewed is the study area map. That's an important component because it's not all of Salem. It's really focused on a particular area. And that we're looking at traffic issues with downtown circulation and long delays in West Salem. And we're looking for transportation infrastructure solutions. So those pieces are important, and we confirmed that at the last meeting. And then the last thing I wanted to just touch base on is that we did look at some basic task force operating agreements. And probably the most important one is that we've got a quorum of 3 out of 4 to...
What are we missing?
Have a, no. That was part of the operating agreement that we wanted to get a quorum of 3 out of 4.
We've got everyone
actually
here.
Meet, so we've got everybody here today. And just an affirmation of those operating agreements. Everybody got them. So just kind of had nods on that. Does that work for all of you?
Yeah.
All right. And then the last thing we did at the meeting is we looked at different policies, different options. We haven't looked at options yet, but we kind of said, you know, everything's on the table. We want to look at all kinds of things and then consider after that. And there was kind of agreement on the big picture and looking at everything. So today we've got a big agenda. Last time we looked at existing conditions. Today we're going to look at future conditions. We're going to look at the solutions that came in from the public, from the consultant. You brainstormed some solutions last time. We're going to look at the big picture of solutions. And then we're going to look at evaluation criteria because we're going to take those solutions and kind of sort them out and figure out which comes to the top. We need to make sure that we look at those evaluation criteria and have some head nods on that, because when we come back in a month, we're going to have used that criteria and there won't be an opportunity to like go back and change it or something. We're really trying to move forward. So
does everyone understand that? That
yeah.
That's how we're going to do this, is we're going to actually get this done.
So if I, in the midst of looking at the future conditions or specifics on the ideas, and I say we've got to move on, one option, especially for discussing the nuances of future conditions, we could reconvene in early May to answer more of those questions. So there's an opportunity to do that. But what we don't have any flex on is getting the ideas out there, and Scott's going to go through them today, looking at that criteria and using that so in a month from now on the 18th we can come back and look at what DPS has done with the analysis. So that's the big picture. I'm going to stop talking.
Okay.
Any quick questions before Scott starts? Okay.
I have one quick question.
You know, we're not taking questions from the public. We're just doing a conversation today. And we can talk with staff after the meeting.
All right. So everybody should have a packet in front of you, and I'll kind of walk through that. And we're going to try and stay on time, because really, the ideas is where a lot of the bulk of the time is going to need to be. And we're actually going to shift the agenda a little bit. We're going to move the evaluation criteria ahead of the ideas, just to make sure Mayor Bennett has a chance to weigh in on those, on the evaluation criteria. So we'll adjust that. So we're going to go through our transportation conditions. Then we're going to look at the evaluation criteria, which you have in your handout, and then the transportation solution ideas. Again, some of those were ones that we presented last time that has previously been identified in other projects and other planning documents. And then we'll wrap up and talk about our next steps. So this first slide, and you don't have every single slide in your packet. I'll kind of talk to you about which slides to look at. Some of the figures or the colors were a little hard to see on the screen, so I went ahead and provided you with some handouts. But this first slide is showing there was a question from the task force at our last meeting about providing a little bit more detail on the growth on the existing bridges. And so we went back to 2000, so from 2000 to 2016, we projected the traffic volumes on the bridges. And as you can see, there's been basically a continued growth since 2011 on the bridges, and it accounts to about 2.3% of growth per year between 2011 and 2016. And so the peak that has hit here in 2016 is about 93,500. And that's the average annual daily traffic. So that's kind of an average of typical traffic volumes on a daily basis.
Do we have them for each bridge, or is this the pair?
If you can split the bridges up.
I think that might be helpful at some point, just to see.
Okay.
What your data looks like. Does it split the bridges? If it does, the time of day.
Okay. Yeah. And I'll actually show you what that looks like.
Great, thank you.
So this slide right here, this is still the combined bridges. But if you can imagine, the peak in the morning is going to be on the Center Street Bridge, and in the evening, it's the peak is the Marion Street Bridge. But this is an hourly profile. I think, Councilor Lewis, you had a question of how, you know, for different peaks of the day, and, you know, what is the projections by hour day. And so you can see in the morning, between 7 and 9, the peak hits about 7,234 vehicles, and this is the peak hour. So instead of the daily volume, which I was just showing, this is kind of the peak hour. And then you can see it's quite a spike, and then it drops down once you hit that peak AM period. And then when you get to the PM, you can see that peak is really kind of spreading out. But from the 4 to 6 PM period, you can see that peak on the combined bridges. But there's also, you can see there is still, as you're looking in the afternoon, volumes on the combined bridges are just as high as in the morning.
Yes. You have one like from 2007, the same.
2007.
Yeah, oh. 10 years. I'm curious what this would have looked like
10 years ago.
Yeah.
I can provide that. I don't have that at this time. So.
And these are not in our packet?
No, it's part of the presentation, so we do have, I think, a few copies if you'd like all the slides.
Or perhaps these could be packaged and emailed to
yes.
us so we could get a look at it. So
they're all going to be put up on the web later today.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can send you one.
So we also looked at taking the Midland Valley Council of Government model with the current approved land use, and we evaluated in the morning kind of where is the growth occurring. We looked out 10 years. You can see over the next 10 years, we're estimating about 14% growth on the bridges. And we're looking at, and as you look at where is that growth coming from, about 10% is on Highway 22, 16% is on. And these are kind of rough estimates, because as you'll note,
There's 40% growth on Glen Creek and 32% growth on Orchard Heights, and about 12% to the north. But not all this growth is necessarily going to the bridge. It's going to land uses within West Salem. So this is kind of showing over the next 10 years in the morning, the types of growth we are expecting to see based on the estimated land use. So I have one. This is in the evening, in the PM peak period, showing where the growth is occurring. And it's a similar PM peak hour growth. We're going to see about 14%. And you can see where that growth is coming from. We have about 5% is coming from the north on Commercial and Liberty. You have 8% on Marion Street, 7% on Ferry, and about 5% on Liberty. And as, again, not all this 5% is necessarily hitting the bridge, but as we're looking at kind of where the growth is, this is where the pockets of growth are occurring that's going to ultimately be on the bridge. So we've projected out through the year 2035 and looked at, if you remember at our last meeting, we said, here's what we're seeing today. Here's the queuing we have. You know, typical queues are the red, and when you start seeing kind of a normal basis, there are times where you have incidents or there's higher congestion than normal, but we try to provide a typical day. And based on this growth that we've estimated, you can see what we try to show where these, how the queues are going to change over time if we see the types of traffic growth that are estimated in the morning. So this is the morning. So you can see southbound on Wallace Road, where we're having queues that extend past Orchard Heights. Those will go back to River Bend and sometimes even beyond River Bend. On Orchard Heights, you'll see that there'll be queues that exceed what's out there today, as well as Highway 22 in the morning. And then northbound Liberty will get worse as this additional growth occurs.
Do we know kind of what the duration of the queues are? Are those queues at lights? Is that the idea, or where are they?
I mean, a lot of them are from bottlenecks, and okay. The bottleneck in the, so in the morning, right past it. So the bottleneck in the morning is typically in this general area right here, and so that's going to be where those queues are going to progress back from. And in the evening, it's typically the Taggart intersection. You can see the Taggart intersection is part of the problem, but also the Marion Commercial intersection.
Is there analysis of this time frame and what this looks like in terms of period? You know, we're always hearing that, well, it took me X number of minutes to get from here to here.
Yes.
And do we know that as a fact or as an experiential?
To make sure I understand, you're asking, do we know what it is today?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It will be.
Yes. Yes. In fact, we at our last meeting, we did show travel times from one point to the other, and we actually projected how much greater those will be.
Okay.
And we can provide that. I can provide those.
That's
Julie, and she can send that out.
Well, factors.
Yeah.
Travel time is a factor that drives people.
Correct. And there have been, at the last meeting, we talked about what the existing travel times, but we have projected what they will be in the future as well, and that wasn't provided, so I can have Drew send that to everybody.
Great, thank you.
So, I'll turn over to Drew.
So, there was about 2 weeks, questionnaire, public, on the web, city distributed it. We got 1,300 responses, pretty amazing, 99 pages of comments. The entirety of it is posted on, will be posted today on the web, but it is extensive, it's impressive, it's thoughtful. Many people were, they had a range. They talked about everything from long-term new bridge to immediate ideas to how can we change how people get around. It was amazing. So what we did was we coded, we sorted, we came up with a set of proposed solutions that Scott is going to go through. There's kind of, this is 99 pages, there's also on the web kind of a 9-page summary where we created, we consolidated, and so what you see here is just the range, but not specific. So
from 1,300 down to what?
This is 9 pages of single space solutions. And this is 99 pages, and what Scott is going to go through are diagrams that kind of consolidate all this and present it in a way that we can actually understand. And so just what I wanted to reinforce is you can see people from all over the city responded, a lot of folks from West Salem. And if you go to the next slide, you can see that there's a range of how people got around. A lot of people that drove definitely filled out the survey. And just like we're looking for the people that did fill out the survey, they do live and work in Salem. That's important. It wasn't like, oh gosh, where did this come from? And so that's the takeaway. And what I'd love to do now is actually look at the range of ideas that we received.
I'm going to skip through these really quick. And at the very last part of your handout is the evaluation criteria. So as Mayor Bender requested, we're going to go to this handout of the evaluation criteria. And so as we look at these ideas and as we move these forward, the primary, and did everybody see this one sheet of evaluation criteria?
Yep. The very end.
So the primary criteria is the direction that the Salem City Council and Mayor Bennett provided, and that reads from the notes, relieve congestion in the project area and advise the city on policies and actions to improve traffic flow. So that's our primary criteria as we look at these ideas. Is there any questions on that?
Okay.
So then the secondary criteria is the transportation and other. And so as we create the criteria to kind of rank, and rank is not the right word, but just to compare, to be able to provide you with direction and understanding as you look at each of the ideas, how they affect these different secondary criteria. So safety, how does this idea improve safety, or does it degrade safety? On-street parking, how does it impact on-street parking? Pedestrian facilities, bicycle facilities, transit facilities, property impacts and acquisition. What types of properties is it impacting? Is it impacting parks? Emergency vehicle access and response times. How do they affect how we serve the public in emergency responses? Grade separated facilities. Mediums, turning, driveway limitations. Do these ideas impact business access? Or how does it really influence how traffic moves? So I'll stop there and open if there's, on the transportation side, are there any concerns, questions? Is there anything that, because these are, if you remember, we had some policy discussion at the first meeting, and a lot of these were things that were brought up on the table, and we tried to make sure we made modifications based on the feedback that you provided.
And I think what one thing that will make a lot more sense is after we go through the ideas, if you're thinking of this, you may flag something or a question, and we can circle back to it. It kind of looking at it without starting to look at the ideas, you're sort of like, well, what would this actually mean? But
so as you use these as a, assume like a filter.
Yeah.
Yes.
Will it be a really kind of binary? It's a plus minus on safety as you look at it, or how will you use these criteria?
You know, some of them will be qualitative, some of them will be quantitative. And so you're correct on on-street parking. Let's use that as an example. Let's say we have an alternative that removes on-street parking on one of the streets in downtown. That might get a negative one. If you have one that actually has the opportunity to go from parallel parking to diagonal parking, you're increasing. That may be a positive. So you try to provide a score, but then on a course, if it's not something that it's a little bit more challenging, you might just say, yes, it impacts, or no, it doesn't.
Okay.
And typically, we'll try and provide a really simple form as we look at these ideas at the next meeting to kind of show maybe red, green, yellow, this is good, this is not good.
So we'll be able to see kind of your thinking.
Yes.
It'll be fairly transparent as to how we got from here to there.
Correct.
Okay, great, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I was going to say, I think I would like to know what the mechanism is for scoring.
Yeah.
because I personally don't want a number assigned to these solutions, because I don't think that's helpful. Like, this is a 55, but this is a 57.
Yeah.
So it's like, what does that mean? Because this could significantly impact safety, and this one doesn't. And right. It's, you know, 2 points, whatever that means, separated. So if it's something like, so I personally don't like that type of system when you're just reducing it down to a number.
What would yours look like?
Well, I think if it's something like where if you're taking these categories, and like you said, like it's a red, yellow, green, or, you know, it's good in these areas, it's not so great in these areas, I think that would be a better way of ranking those things.
Yeah, it could be policymakers say this is important, more important than.
Well, this is a 55. Yeah.
For instance, we could have the greatest idea around, but if it's $100 million, you know, we can't afford it. So what's the point? I mean, so it might be a great solution, but it's not going to be high on our list.
That's what we did, if you remember, on the mobility study.
Right, yes.
Do you remember we had, like, one-way, two-way, and we just had kind of a matrix that showed the red? Is that kind of...
Yeah, and I remember that, and that was helpful. And to see it in kind of all of these areas of, I don't know what you call it, the criteria evaluation areas, I guess. Okay. So I'm a little concerned breaking out primary, secondary, other, because I tend to look at things a bit more holistically than that, and I hate to be kind of hedged in. But I mean, I understand it from a, you know, we need to get through this philosophical approach and keeping a goal in mind.
I don't understand your primary, secondary.
The evaluation criteria. So, you know, primary is at the very top, and that is the number one thing we're evaluating against. And then secondary is we're evaluating against these other things.
I see what you're saying.
And, you know, the world doesn't always fall perfectly like that. Right. So I think if we can remain somewhat flexible on that without saying, well, yeah, this puts in this, I don't know, this impacts safety, and that's really important to us. Okay, it's secondary, but it is really important. So if we can, I don't know, be flexible, I guess, as a task force as we look at these.
Yeah, it's really great.
And I think that's something that would be really helpful from the task force as we're going through the ideas, because what we're trying to do is there's a lot of ideas on the table.
Yeah.
And so we have a month to get back to you with, here's what we feel are, you know, how these are scoring, and as we compare these. Scoring isn't the right word, but as we kind of help educate you on kind of some of these criteria, we want to try and get this list down. And things that have been recommended that aren't necessarily bad ideas, but if they don't improve the congestion, those are things that would be helpful to move on.
Yeah, somebody says, you know, we should put in this awesome thing downtown. It's like, well, that's not really our point.
Right.
So yeah, we definitely want to, you know, remove those things. But,
So the other criteria that go through parks, landscaping, visual impacts, community livability, area economic vitality, historic resources, cultural resources, consistent with city and state design standards. So is this something that we're recommending that it goes against city standards or ODOT standards? Consistent with city adopted plans, is this going against something that was already approved in the transportation plan, and then project costs. And again, for those, it would just be order of magnitude.
Right. So, and this is a totally egregious example, but if something we decide, like, hey, there's an idea out there and it's going to take out Gilbert House to improve traffic, it's like, yeah, that's an other, but that's really important, and I'm not going to support that. So that kind of stuff.
It's funny you say that, because I think there's an idea that would.
It's right there.
I'm sure
it would really help traffic.
Gilbert House, Marion Park, we had a whole bunch of facilities in there. So. The one that I'm going to be interested in, too, because I hear it debated all the time, is will ODOT or won't ODOT agree to this idea? And we have an ongoing debate over how to get across Wallace Road at 2nd Street. And everybody seems to know what ODOT wants, and I don't think anyone asked ODOT. And I'd like to know, as you guys evaluate this, what really doesn't fit the state's requirements for its bridges? What doesn't fit together? I think that's really important. I don't want to waste 5 minutes on something we can't get by the state. That'd be my opinion, but we may want to push the state. I mean, I understand.
Yeah, I guess that's
a great solution.
I guess I'd like to know, what's our...
But I don't want to have, I want to have the ones where the line's drawn and we don't fiddle around. They're fiddling around on Wallace Road for years about going across it, how to get across. It's gotten a little...
Maybe if there was an indicator of how strongly do you think we could get this through ODOT?
Right.
If there was some level of an idea of how difficult that would be.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, if there is or a maybe here.
Is it even possible, or is it just like that?
Yeah.
So as we move through, what we want to make sure we do before Mayor Bennett leaves is head nods on these criteria, and we can augment them, we can ask questions about them, but if there is like something that is fundamentally needs to be added or deleted, that's a thing that we kind of need to have some head nods on before we leave today, so that DKS can do this analysis in the next month. So
what's our drop dead for adjustment? Like, when do you have to know by?
Today.
Today.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we tried to make fairly broad categories, so we can consider a lot of different things within those. I mean, but if there is something fundamental, you know, we should just definitely address it today.
And Mayor Bennett, I think what you were referring to on the ODOT standards, I think, or, you know, is this going to pass the sniff test at ODOT?
Yeah.
I think we can build that into the consistent with ODOT design standards and plans.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't want to overstate it that it's the absolute barrier, but I think it becomes a really significant barrier if ODOT doesn't want to do something to its bridges.
I think maybe one area also here that I don't see is time. So mm-hmm. I mean, we want to get things done, right?
Yeah.
So we have a great idea that's going to take 20, 30 years to implement. And yeah, that's going to affect.
We're on that timeline right now.
We are.
One of the
yeah.
solutions.
So
one of the goals of the task force is short, medium, long.
And maybe it's already built in. And if there's a way to capture that, maybe using those same colors or something, I don't know. Or maybe it's.
Do you have anything?
So I'm going to be going through the ideas. And as you go through your packet, each of these slides that have all the colors and ideas should be in the handout that I gave you. So if you want to make notes, but that way you can kind of follow along. But the first sheet that I'm going to go through is the one that says solution ideas, and it has a little yellow box in the upper left-hand one that says previously identified transportation ideas. And this slide, I just wanted to, again, before we go through the ideas, just be reminded of the goal. That we were directed, and that was to improve vehicular mobility and identifying ways to reduce vehicular congestion within the study area. And you also provide direction to say, develop ideas to reduce traffic congestion and vehicular mobility for the short term. So as Councilor Kayser was just saying, what are some things we can do in the short term, in the next 5 years? What are we going to be able to do in the medium term, kind of next 10 years, and then longer term, longer than 10 years? And then we want to select the most. So at this point, we want to try and get this list down to the ones that you want us to come provide. So our next meeting, we're going to come back with some high-level findings of these ideas and taking that evaluation criteria and providing those colors and kind of how we think those do.
What do you guys think on the time frame? I mean, we're talking 5 years, aren't we? Isn't that how we've talked about this?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, within 5 years.
Within 5 years. I think when you start looking at the out time in 10 years, beyond 10 years, you're talking about something that is not what we're going to, because we're moving into new councils with new policy. We're going through that right now.
That's really what Public Works' role is.
Yeah.
And this is really about short term.
This is, can we do anything right now?
You know, as we go through the ideas, you might flag some ideas that don't fit in the 5 years.
Okay.
But they're so good that you're like, hey, you know, we want to make
this
this
along to the next.
So that's why we don't want to limit it. Because a lot of these ideas are. They're pretty big picture ideas. I mean, you don't just build ramps just, you know.
They're great ideas, but we're really looking for that. Sure. That's what we're looking for.
Yeah. How about just change that to short term within 5 years, and then anything after 5 years? Just say everything gets included, but the focus remains on the 5 years, really.
Seven.
I'm hoping. Yeah, I want to see something happen.
That's. I think we're all
okay.
Yeah.
As soon as possible.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that we'll have to.
Does that help you with?
Yes.
What you need to do.
Yeah. But as far as 5 years, and I think the challenging thing is what budgets do we work with, and that assumption.
Because somebody, you know, like somebody's, wow. And I think as you see the ideas, maybe we can have a discussion at the end of, once we've gotten through them.
Well, that's really the council's job. This task force is focused on solutions. Implementing them is the bigger problem.
I don't want to see, I certainly want to know wildly expensive, but I don't think that should ever be a barrier right. at this point for short term or any solution. That becomes then the voters' prerogative to join us or not. In particular,
so
it's a great solution.
Right.
This is $1 sign, this is $4 sign.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, yeah. the money becomes all theoretical. We've seen that in discussions of Third Bridge and everything else. Everything's made up. And I think I'd like to really know and then go to the voters if we need to.
So what I would like to know is on your last bullet point there, are you going to do your analysis similar to what you did before when you were showing us at the last meeting, like the point from A to B and that kind of stuff?
Yes.
Okay.
So that, and that's, and there's two different tiers. We're gonna be coming back to you, and let's just say you give us direction for moving forward with 10 of these ideas. We're gonna come back with some high level. It's gonna prove delay by so much and kind of give you some scoring. But then when you give us a little bit more detail and we then narrow it down, okay, these are the three that we like the best, then we're gonna even go to even more detail. So we're staying a little higher level at the next meeting, and then we'll go even more detailed at that next meeting. So this is in your handout, and these are the same, these next two slides were presented at our last meeting, because these were solution ideas that were previously identified in other planning documents. So, but I want to go through and make sure everybody is reminded of these. Because many of these ideas that were previously identified, we got lots of comments from the public for the exact same thing. So we haven't continued to show these over and over. If they are listed here, we're not going to show them as what we heard from the public. So number five is the first one, and that was to add eastbound and westbound lanes on Wallace Road, improve the geometry of the curve coming from the Marion Street Bridge to Wallace Road, and closing Musgrave Lane. So just to try and improve the operations of the Edgewater-Wallace intersection.
I'm not recalling where Musgrave is.
It's Musgrave right, is the...
It's by that 10 nodding.
Yeah. It's the one that gets gated off from going into the park.
Yep, okay.
So nine is the Marine Drive connection, which is in the city's transportation plan. And there's been, we've heard a lot from the public about a ramp from Marion Street that connects up to Marine Drive. 10 is some type of multimodal grade separated crossing in the vicinity of 2nd. That's been talked about a lot. 11 is increasing the Marion Street Bridge and the Center Street Bridge, adding lanes to the existing bridges. That was a very common theme that we heard from the public as well. Wallace Road improvements, widening to 6 lanes, and for the ramp from Marion Street onto Wallace Road, widening that to 3 lanes. So, and that would be, it's already 3 lanes today, it would be 3 lanes that would go onto Wallace Road.
Why? Because there's only one or two.
Two.
Number 13 is adding a signal at Edgewater and Patterson. And then number 14 was the Murlark to Glen Creek connection. And that is to provide an additional connection to Glen Creek and to take pressure off of Walls Road.
And that's still in the...
These are on the transportation.
A lot of these have been discussed.
They've been discussed, but they haven't. The Walls up to Glen Creek is not been adopted.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Patterson, though, had that extension.
Patterson up to Glen Creek has not been adopted. That came out of the business.
Yeah.
Okay.
But how is the traffic light at Patterson going to help with congestion?
That was to, because today, to provide better circulation into the kind of the employment area.
Because there's no...
Out of it?
There's no control.
Yeah.
You have to go down to Rosemont to have a controlled intersection.
Right. There's no other lights
there. There's not even four missed options.
And that's where all the traffic is actually, there's a guide sign telling traffic that wants to go to Wallace Road, because you can't come up to Edgewater.
Right.
I'm sorry, you can't come up to Wallace from Edgewater and turn left.
Right.
So this is the way that traffic can get to Wallace Road from that area.
Thank you.
So really quick, sorry.
Yes.
you had said the only one not in the transportation system plan is the...
No, that was just an example.
How many of these are in the transportation system plan? Do we know?
Marine Drive is.
Marine Drive is in there, the making, the adding the eastbound and westbound lanes on Wallace and Edgewater is in the transportation plan. That... No.
Okay.
No, I think that's it.
Those two, okay.
And then there's a grade separated crossing at Second Street, although in the plan it's only for bike and ped.
I know that's an active, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So these are the ideas from previously identified on, within downtown and north downtown. Number six is the construct the Union Street bikeway, which one phase of that has been completed. Number seven is to widen the ramp coming off of the Center Street Bridge to two lanes and making that an uncontrolled intersection. Does that make sense?
Yep.
So you're coming off of Center today, there's one single lane that goes around and then there's the signal at Front Street. So the previously stated project was to bring two lanes along and remove the signal.
Right.
Eight is the Marion Commercial intersection. The desire for southbound double right turn lanes from Commercial to West Salem. There's a shared lane today. There's a right turn lane and a through right turn. The desire to make that an exclusive right turn lane. Then having an uncontrolled ramp turn from Marion onto the bridge. From Commercial onto the bridge. So it would be a ramp that would cut across the park. Uncontrolled right turn ramp on the Mary Street. And that was actually something that we heard a lot from the public as well.
Yeah.
And then widening Front Street to minor arterial standard. And the desire there is to have more capacity to take off for traffic that doesn't want to go on the bridge, to give additional capacity for traffic that going to South Salem and doesn't want to travel that way.
What would that do? Like, what does that look like on the ground? Just widening Front Street for another lane, or?
Yeah, it would turn lane.
Okay.
Include turn lanes,
okay.
Bike lanes.
Okay.
Getting rid of the railroad tracks.
And a railroad tracks.
Yeah.
Being multimodal.
Multimodal.
Put those in the center.
The railroad.
With the truck.
Yeah, let's just use the railroad tracks.
All right. So this kind of completes the work that's already been done. Now we're going to get into ideas that we've received from the public. So this first slide is looking at a theme of added lanes, where we heard from the public who they would like to see widening first. So with common, the limits were sometimes different, but there was a common theme on Wallace Road to add through lanes and right turn lanes on Wallace Road all the way to Riverdale. So that's the first one. We received some idea comments on Front Street to widen that to two lanes and continue that those two lanes to Court Street. So along the park.
So there's just one right now.
There's just one.
That comes off Center Street.
Correct. There's one and then it goes into its own lane.
Yep.
So the right turn lanes on Wallace are essentially creating more through lanes is what the concept is. Is that what they're thinking? Is they'd like to get people off or turning into McDonald's or Ross or...
Yeah, I
mean, the problem out of the
adding one travel lane in each direction was one, and adding right turn lanes at critical locations. So
right.
It could be at driveways, it could be at major intersections.
Okay. So we're talking about widening, not converting.
Correct.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So it was just the theme was really adding capacity from lanes and turn lanes.
Okay.
Right. In the right turn lanes.
Because right now there's two lanes in each direction on Wallace.
Yeah.
And a center turn lane at times. Right.
Yeah.
It kind of
there are
narrows
some right lane.
Yeah.
Yeah. In Glen Creek.
In Glen Creek has right
yeah.
turn lanes.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
So Commercial Liberty up here. Adding lanes to add capacity. So, and it was discussed from kind of the Gym of the North that we're showing here all the way to into the Division intersection.
Do we have congestion back that far typically?
Yes.
Okay.
Not necessarily on Liberty State,
right.
But Commercial Street,
yeah. Liberty happens south of downtown.
Right.
Right.
Not so much north.
This was one. This is actually consistent or similar to what Councilor Hoy had shared at our last meeting. But this, they want to extend two southbound lanes on High Street down to the Union Street intersection, and then to provide, and then that would connect in. Because there's already the lanes on High Street, and then make that a free right turn from High to Marion.
Okay, extend to southbound lane. So there's one lane southbound now on High Street.
There's a, it's a, from Union to Marion, there's a right turn lane and then a through lane. And they want to extend those two lanes, and it only goes back.
A block. Right.
And then it just goes to one travel lane. So they're saying just carry those two lanes all the way back. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
So you're just offering an alternative route for moving toward the bridge. Is that what's going on?
Yeah, just adding capacity.
Okay.
For that approach. And queuing.
Okay.
So I think the final idea on this slide was to make triple right turn lanes from Marion's, from Commercial Street onto the Marion Street Division.
Wow. Triple right. That'd be exciting.
And as you're thinking, as you're making notes, I'd like to kind of revisit if there's some of these things that you want off the table that's really helpful to us, kind of what things you feel are.
Do we have any triple right turn lanes here? We have trouble with double right turn lines.
Is that a standard?
Not in Oregon.
Texas style.
There's one triple left turn lanes at Clackamas Town Center. And that's the only only triple left that exists in Oregon. Triple turn lanes that exist in Oregon.
How's that look?
You're gonna know where you're going.
It's right by my office.
Is it? How is it?
That middle lane.
It's fine.
Yeah.
It's right by the restaurant.
Right.
Yeah.
So would they, I mean, right now on Commercial at Marion, there are four lanes of travel, right?
Yes.
So they are talking about three of those they want to turn right. I'm guessing two would have to turn right and one would be a through and right. Yeah.
So you asked us if we wanted any of these taken off. I'm not prepared to remove anything until we hear your opinion on some of them. I think we need to leave all ideas at this point. I'm not ready to say no to anything. That's just me.
Yeah.
So these are some other, this is also a slide in your packet. These are some just localized ramp. This was, this one right here is to add an off ramp from Marion Street Bridge to connect to the Second Street undercrossing. So, and bear with me. So if you're driving to West Salem on Marion Street and you are in the, let's just say you're in the southmost lane, this would be a ramp that would come off and go under the structure and then come up, so it would connect to this undercrossing. And this, there were several of these comments, but what they were getting at is they want to eliminate the signal at Edgewater. So they want, for those that want to go across Edgewater, they want to eliminate that signal and have a ramp that comes around, and this is going to be your access to the Edgewater area.
Okay.
That makes sense?
So you get into that southernmost lane, like you're going to go Highway 22 west, and there'd be an off ramp. Right there.
Yeah.
One of the things you'll want to also talk about is what we saw was some of these ideas were related to trying to reduce a lot of weaving on the bridge.
Yeah.
So that's
a huge factor is the weaving and people trying to, I need to get all the way over there, and I need to get all the way over there.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's a big problem. Signage.
Commercial, you know, on the right hand side, if you're going to take that exit, you got to go over all the lanes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Could you talk about that dedicated lane?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And this is this was a flyover idea, and we heard this not just from one person, there's quite a few. So this is a ramp that would come off the Center Street Bridge, wrap around, and come up and connect up at Liberty Street somewhere over the park or kind of in the general vicinity of First Baptist Church.
Would it be a replacement for the one that's currently there to get you on to whatever it is heading north?
It could be.
Could be.
Could be.
And that goes over the park and over, okay, I see where it is. Okay, thank you.
And we touched down somewhere. I mean, this is just kind of schematic of what they were getting at, they want, you know, be able to pull off the side and come up to the north.
Sure, okay.
Any questions? All right, so these are a few other ramp ideas that we received. And this is the one that I think would impact the Gilbert House. So you're coming from Front, you're coming from Front Street, and this is the Marion Street Bridge right here. You're coming from Front Street, and it would be a loop ramp that would come up onto the south side of Marion Street. So you're really giving another option from the commercial Marion intersection.
And eliminate some of that weaving that we just talked about.
Correct.
Do you want to keep that on the list?
That would go through the Marine Board, right? Right now.
Yeah. Isn't the Marine Board that gets hit?
No. The Marine Board is.
Where is
it? Right. Gilbert House.
Yeah.
It's Gilbert House.
Oh, yeah, no, I don't. Sorry.
I really agree with Councilor Kaser. I'm not sure that's worth pursuing. I don't think we're going to remove the Gilbert House.
No.
I think we ought to be honest with ourselves.
Definitely not.
In the next 5 years, aside from Anderson, no one else wants to.
Not now.
That's so fine.
I think that one could go.
Okay.
Yeah.
So as we're going, this is the Front Street ramp, so this is an option. Again, we have the weave where everybody that wants to go to West Salem that's coming from Front Street gets in the ramp, and then they have a weave over. So this is a way to have a loop ramp that comes around to get them on the right side of the bridge.
Does that completely eliminate the park?
I wouldn't say completely eliminate.
It puts a cover on the because right now everybody's in the rain. This actually adds a lid. I think we could look at it as a multi-use real opportunity here.
I'm a little confused by your map.
Okay.
Well, where is commercial and where is Liberty on your map?
Sorry, this is commercial right here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is commercial and this is front. So if you're coming down, these are the front streets.
Interesting median. Yeah. Okay.
So that blue loop is right on top of Marion Square Park.
So I want to understand too. Marion Square Park is on the table then for being affected this way. So we'll need to evaluate. I mean, find out if Marion Square Park has the.
I guess.
I'm okay with it being impacted. I don't know about that.
Yeah.
No, but it's not a priority. The one that got rid of Gilbert House, we're not going to go there.
Yeah.
Marion Square Park, though, is okay.
I think for right now.
Okay.
I'm okay leaving on the table for now.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so this is a lot of ideas all in one. We're going to try and communicate. And a lot of this has to do with the ramp that we just talked about. But this idea is to try and eliminate weaving. A lot of the weaving that really congests things and cause problems. So we've color-coded this, but to picture the Marion Street Bridge and picture a traffic separator going down the middle of it that doesn't allow weaving between lanes. So if you're wanting to go to West Salem and to get to Wallace Road, and as you're coming, down commercial, you would be forced to these lanes to go to West Salem and Wallace Road. If you're coming, the ramp we just talked about that you said to take off the table, just having different routes to where if you're coming from Front Street and you want to go to Highway 22, you could take the existing ramp. But if you want to go to Wallace Road, you're going to come up Front Street and you could take this ramp to get on this side. Mm-hmm. So you're trying to separate and basically eliminate the weaving on the existing bridges. So if you're coming from Highway 22 or Wallace Road, you would also try and you'd eliminate the weaving as much as possible, and I'll try and explain. So for Highway 22, you have one ramp that comes and connects and allows you to go into the downtown or to Front Street. And so we would make that traffic stay on to Front Street. If you're coming from Wallace Road, you'd have a couple different options. If you're coming from Wallace Road, you'd be able to, we'd widen this ramp. So some of these ramps, existing ramps, would have to be widened to make this work. But if you're coming from Wallace Road, you'd come across and you could either go into the downtown, you could go take the second ramp from Front Street, or take the loop ramp.
So I couldn't be coming on 22 and getting directly into downtown. I'd have to do something else.
Yes. I mean, and there's a lot of, this is a concept, so okay, we'd have to work out a lot of details. But
you have to choose earlier.
Is that what right. I mean?
Where you're going to go choose earlier.
How would I get to downtown? I'm looking at my own route. That's often the one I like, is to get on to center through town, through downtown.
Yeah.
How would I do that now, or under this scenario, if I understand it?
Yeah.
I have to sign back at Rosemont or something? Is that
right? Right. And I think that's some of the things in the concept, because if you're coming in this on this yellow line, we might allow you to weave one lane, to change one lane to get into the downtown.
Okay.
And those are some of the details that have to be worked out. But if you're coming from Wallace Road, you really have options to go on all
right,
three.
Right.
But remember, on Highway 22, you got two, it lets you split. You can either go into this lane in the yellow or in the orange. And so you can still, the way we would show it right now, I think if you're coming from kind of some of the industrial areas on Highway 22, you can come in this, remember it splits, and you can bring come around this way and then get into downtown. So you just have to choose earlier.
Okay. That's it. Interesting.
So, and this could be combined with different ramp configurations that we've already talked about. But really what this is doing is you're using the existing structures and you're trying to add capacity by removing the weaving.
Is there, I mean, I'll get off on this quickly, but there would be a way to test that, like do a demo, for lack of a better word. I mean, I could envision where you are putting in cones or, you know, something just to try to see what happens. I mean, really, if people do it, or if they're like, no. I mean, it would be interesting. So
well, they wouldn't have the option.
That would be a simple, though, it seems like, or a low-cost thing to test, I mean, really. If people get totally irate, or...
Yeah. Some of it, though, with some of the ramp modifications or those changes,
right,
would be able to...
Yeah. Yeah. You can't test it.
Yeah, it'd be that way. Trying to do it in phases.
But I could see, like, for the, what would it be, eastbound, you know, 22 coming into downtown, there's no additional ramps, there's the one, you know, double turn thing, but I don't know. I've always thought that the signage on the bridge is terrible.
Right.
Because there's not enough of it. And then when you're on the bridge, there's, like, nothing. And if you're out of town or don't know where you're going, it's like, oh, I got to get over there.
Yeah, exactly.
It's now, and then they separate and they get back together, no signage.
Yeah, but, okay.
Does everybody follow?
Yeah.
All right. So these are some other ideas that were just general discussed. A lot of improving signal timing and securitization, and they identified Marion and Center Street, Wallace Road, and Commercial Street. Pedestrian crossing modifications. The first bullet is referring to, in downtown, most of the signals are running on a 65-second cycle, so it's kind of short for pedestrians. They don't have to wait for long periods of time to make crossings. So this comment is talking about increasing that time, so you're giving more time to motor vehicles and less time to pedestrians. The pedestrian still has time to cross the street, but it's only coming up. Let's just say it's only coming up. They're getting half the options to cross during that peak time.
And this is at certain places?
Yes.
I mean, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean,
maybe at the Commercial and Center Street intersection.
Some of them have more heavy congestion.
Wall Road. Okay. Yeah. What about your smart traffic lights? Can they? I got a thing from the manager about some stuff you're doing with new software.
Yeah, that can all. Yeah, timing is all. Everything's connected. So
well, is it responsive? I had a little trouble understanding, but is it responsive to capacity and to the amount of people at the light at any given time, or?
So they're signal plans. So they're not, you know, I mean, they're downtown because it's a whole system, doesn't respond immediately to traffic. It is time based on what traffic is out there. So we implement that plan at that time of day.
Will allow you to be more sophisticated in your timing in terms of meeting these kind of capacities.
And I'll jump on that, Peter. I mean, so a lot of the newer controllers that kind of the smarter traffic signals that you're referring to, you could do time of day, like, so you might increase the times in just the peak periods, but then you reduce it back during non-peak times.
So we're going to have a much more flexible ability to time.
And we have that today.
Right.
So it's just that we, you know, there's pedestrians out there, so it's on a cycle that allows for pedestrians. What this would do is, you know, we would be running, for example, you know, the Marion Street in the afternoon for a lot longer cycle.
Yeah.
You know, and just hold back. Now we have to then also consider not just pedestrians, but traffic.
Yeah.
You know, the northbound or southbound traffic.
Right.
On that, but right, it'd be an idea that, you know, the one cycle may not come on.
Yeah.
For pedestrians.
Well, what it does is move pedestrians a block away to a more convenient lighting system, just because at that point, not only you're taking your life in your hands, you're going to wait for 90 seconds to do it.
Or they just wait. I mean, we've thought about that right here at Liberty at Ferry, where the pedestrian signal would only come on every other time.
Right.
Too. So it's something that we've already been thinking about.
Right.
You don't get Walking Man every time. You get every other time.
Okay.
Every third time.
But only during certain times.
Right. Of course.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So is that for your first bullet point there, the Marion and Center Street? Are you talking specifically along Commercial, or Liberty, or both?
And these are just comments saying, you know, it would work better if there's better signal timing. And they specifically name those facilities.
Right. So, okay, Marion Street, but we don't know necessarily where along Marion.
No.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Well, so are you going to be analyzing that, or what are you going to, well, how are we going to go forward with that?
Well, I think as we look at these different alternatives, if we have opportunities to implement these are things that these aren't, from a capacity standpoint, they are going to improve congestion, and we can look at that. The city's already doing a lot of the updated signal timing and improving a lot of this. So we'll look at it. If there's things that we see, then we'll provide those.
Okay.
And then one comment we received was to add a grade separated crossing of Front Street between downtown and Riverfront Park. So something that doesn't require you to walk.
Right. Yeah.
By grade separated, underground, over, you know, going over.
Right.
Comments of a couple of removing traffic signals, the Edgewater Wallace Road signal and Commercial Street Union, which was just installed.
Yeah. was something, I don't know if you're going to get to this, but something I had heard about closing crosswalks, would that get on to any of your lists at all? Okay, maybe it didn't come out enough. Those are just some of the things I had heard, was closing crosswalk along Front, specifically at Front and Court, closing the north.
I mean, they talked about that, and then a lot of other people talked about how to still maintain the ability to cross
while
traffic is flowing through bridges or underpasses and things like that. So, but you will see that on the raw comments.
Okay.
Close that crosswalk.
Yeah.
So, and that
front
is
and Court closed.
The north, there's two crosswalks on the north and south sides of Court Street at Front.
Right.
And the comment was to close one, close the north one. Because people are turning right on the Front to try to get onto the bridge, and there's crosswalk, and it's the whole timing and the, you know.
And people could just cross the street to cross Front then.
Because that whole pedestrian island and Court spans the whole, anyways, they have a choice.
Okay. I'll double check it and see if that was on the list.
Okay.
Some other ideas was to improve signage. I think Councilor Kidman mentioned that things could be improved to show better guide signage. Allow motor vehicle traffic on the Union Street Bridge during peak congestion.
Pull out lanes.
Reversible travel lanes, just kind of a generic.
Yeah. I hear that one a lot. Everybody that goes like from Issaquah to Seattle sees that, and they see how that works. There's other places where we see that quite a bit.
San Francisco has
it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is there?
I think the motor vehicle traffic on Union Street Bridge is not going to happen.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless it's a trolley or something like that.
Yeah, I think that's one we don't.
I agree.
Yeah,
I get
excited about that.
I drove out there and took a look at it, and I'm not sure how.
That's really for emergencies. I think people misunderstand what the Passyat Bridge is.
But the reversible traveling, yeah, I've seen that.
I'd be really curious how that would work, what it would take to do that.
Along those lines, did you get any comments of, say, eliminating parking on Marion or Center Street, on-street parking during certain hours of the day? You know how, like in Portland, on some streets, you'll see no parking between, like, the rush hour this direction?
That's where you start talking lanes. If you're adding lanes, you may eliminate.
Somebody said adding lanes by removing parking.
I would be curious to see what that looks like.
Right.
You limit the parking during...
Just during the rush hour.
During rush hour.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There were a variety of things that related to just modifications to even driveways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think those are really interesting in terms of allowing people to move freely, more freely. I'm a little concerned about bus pullouts, but only because I know for chariots that's a problem.
They can't get back on the street.
The street.
Yeah, that's right.
That'd be my
20 years ago, everybody was installing them.
I know, we did.
And then most of the transit agencies now have removed them from their design standards because people won't.
I think they're asking us to...
Oh, really?
They don't like them.
Oh, I didn't know that.
They don't like them at all.
Yeah, they don't like them.
Just to comment, bring up the opportunity to talk about cameras. We don't like the bus pullouts because people don't let them in, but the law says let them in. So you put a camera on the back of the bus. If you don't let the bus out, you get a ticket.
Not sure Oregon law allows that currently, but I love the idea.
Well, they do allow the cameras. They're using that Portland.
Are they for that pullout?
I don't know about for the buses, but they are for speed violators on places like Marine Drive.
Might be a state law change that might open. Right.
So the final one was to open Musgrave through Wallace Marine Park to get to Glen Creek Road. So basically allowing travel mm-hmm. through the park.
So we talked about it, but for me, allowing more vehicle traffic on Union Street Bridge is a
I think we definitely
okay.
Or at least acknowledge emergency vehicle travel as failed.
Okay.
Just if that's
so. Before we start into these TDM ideas, head nods on the general evaluation criteria. I just want to make sure that you all are here now. Are good to go with that.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, yeah. Like I kind of mentioned earlier, if we could remain flexible and when we're thinking about it, you're kind of using your red and yellow green type of indicators, and it's not tightly coupled to a score or something.
Right. And just knowing that we might make a different decision regardless of the priority. But I think the criteria is fine.
Council Kidd, I think you had maybe alluded to. Do you want us to add a criteria about time frame, or is it just? Is that something?
I think after we talked about it, we had talked about, if this is a short term versus, longer term.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. When you asked before, I hadn't thought of this completely, but I'm wondering.
We're gonna keep going and just can't interface.
The mayor just recognized me.
Yeah, let Tom,
okay,
would you
thank
mind?
You.
I just want to let Tom speak. I'm sorry.
That's all right. I'm just a member of the public here, and I got recognized by the mayor. I'll be very quick. I'm just wondering about some comparison with other areas of congestion, because you were saying all these streets got all backed up. Wallace Road does. Well, so does 12th. So does Lancaster. So do other things. So we're not doing this just in a vacuum. We've got areas all over town that have congestion. So.
Our study area is this congestion.
No, I understand that.
But I think if we see solutions here, we can put out in Hoy's district, we'll do it.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. Casey, would you take over then? I've got to run.
Yeah,
then
you next.
Sure. Okay. All right. I guess continue.
So part of our scope was not to look at transportation management items. But there was a lot of ideas. We just wanted to share those with you so you kind of hear what we, they're in the detailed notes, but increasing bus frequency to West Salem, having some type of downtown circulator provide better access in the downtown, expanded park and ride services, expanding existing park and rides and adding new park and rides in West Salem, dedicated transit carpool lanes, which is things that we heard, improving facilities for bicycles and pedestrians, discouraging future development in West Salem, encourage high density land use in downtown, incentive to change travel behavior, telecommuting, staggering work hours, and then implementing tolls and increasing gas tax and increasing parking costs in downtown. Wanted to make sure you
kind of and are you going to be evaluating those?
No.
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 Okay.
That's not part of our scope. We wanted to just make sure you were
okay.
In the loop of what we were getting. So, and we already went through the evaluation criteria, so you can open up with this.
Yeah. Comment. I think just some open conversation at this point on any of the topics we talked about today.
Well, I'm looking forward to just hearing your evaluation on some of these things. Some of these things we've been hearing, you know, we get a lot of input about ideas and things that are going to help, and I'm really looking forward to hearing your expert evaluation of how much impact some of these ideas will actually have, so we can go forward or not go forward based on, you know, something more than anecdote.
Is there anything that wasn't mentioned that, this is going to sound weird, that was obvious? That for as far as a short-term solution or something that you've seen in other places that wasn't mentioned or wasn't brought up?
No, I mean, we tried to, anything that we could think of or that was provided, and we tried to provide a comprehensive list.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, the two things I heard was Gilbert House and Union Street Bridge as kind of and so we'll note that. And other than that, I really didn't hear anything, you know, like it's an open conversation.
The park, because of the impact on the park.
Yeah, we're gonna be, at least I'm gonna have a skeptical eye on any significant impact to it. Now, slicing off the edge of it for another lane or something, I'm good with that.
But it's a loop ramp that would have.
Yeah. If it completely eliminates or destroys that park, I'm gonna have a really hard time with that.
Okay.
I mean, if you say it solves all of our problems, I might change my mind,
yeah.
Right? But at this point, I'm really skeptical on anything that destroys the park.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think there was one other in there. The flyover from Center connecting to right here. The ramp at a flyover off ramp from Center to Commercial. The Commercial Liberty. I just don't know if I could see that even really being feasible for our downtown. I don't know.
Yeah.
Interesting. It's kind of like, you know, what do we want you to spend your time on?
Right.
Right. And that, if there was another one to kind of remove from the list, I think for me, that would be the one. So I just don't see it as good for our downtown.
Say what it is again?
It's this one, the green one.
Scott, go
it goes from Center, and then it flies over, and then it connects at the Commercial Liberty couplet.
Right here.
So we're talking about, like, blocks and blocks, you know, what, three blocks?
Gotcha.
All the ground.
A lot of businesses.
Yeah, buildings and residences. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an apartment building right there.
I guess my take is I'd prefer to stick with our original list. I don't want to take any idea off the table, but I agree. I mean, that one's going to be a difficult
one.
Yeah, right. So if it's a, you know, an issue with time investment, that would be.
I agree.
I think everything else, besides the ones we talked about, I'm okay, you know, evaluating.
Terry, one, this option right here, maybe we can talk after the meeting, but I would like ODOT's input on that one. I've walked it, and just from a feasibility standpoint.
It's got problems.
So something I've seen recently in Walla Walla, which I know is a very different community, but they have a major highway running through their city. And they have Highway 12.
I'm the Walla Walla traffic engineer.
Oh, okay. There you go. Highway 12. My husband's from that area, so we're over there a lot. They recently put in their interchange, they put in a roundabout.
Yes.
For their interchanges.
Intersection.
The intersections. And the first time I went through it, I thought, whoa, what is this? But it seems to really work well. And I've seen that in a couple other places too. Like, I know Ben's done that, not with the highway interchanges, but in other like congested areas. Like, is that at all, is there any, was that a viable thing to evaluate, is how do we manage some of our interchanges differently than just through traffic signals, time traffic signals?
And that, for Walla Walla example, that's, that area isn't developed. It's not highly developed yet. Mm-hmm. And so that's where the city's going to grow. Mm-hmm. And so they had a lot of...
yeah, they could play for freely, yes. More freely.
Yeah, because the radius on those roundabouts are about 200 feet. Mm-hmm. And so trying to do those in an urban area sometimes can be challenging because there's significant property and business impacts and the cost of those. So in Walla Walla's case, it was an excellent option because it's a new area, so getting those roundabouts built is very easy at this time. And then as the development occurs, they're there. They can support that. But the roundabouts are amazing in the right situation.
What about any places like along Wallace? I know it's a highway.
Yeah.
But in some of those places where the street is already pretty wide and I know there's trucks and things going through, so that might be a one.
Yeah, there's roundabouts on Highway 101, though. Near Astoria.
Yeah. I mean, it's true. Yeah. I don't know. I just didn't know if there was any locations within the study area that something like that would be helpful or could potentially be helpful.
I'll take a look. Are there specific locations? Is it Walsh Road or what are some areas that you're thinking?
I don't know for sure, but it seems like the intersection of Edgewater and Wallace is where people have the most like, ugh, I hate this, because it's tight and you have to slow down and people are doing this. So I don't know
yeah.
if that's viable or not, but that seems okay. Like maybe a...
I know, Peter and Julie, there was a roundabout looked at.
Yeah, from Bridgehead Engineering, I think, looked at a
dual lane roundabout at that intersection.
I think it was briefly considered, but not fully examined.
Okay. Yeah, I'll tell you, just as a quick aside, we're fully supportive of roundabouts. The difficulty is we live in a very tight community, so they're just expensive. They end up being more expensive than a signal because of all the land that we'd have to acquire to make them work. Mm-hmm. We considered one at Broadway at Liberty. Because we had to redo that signal, mm-hmm. and we looked at it really hard, given access issues and right of way acquisition issues, mm-hmm. the signal was just ended up being less expensive to construct. So we're fully supportive. If it works somewhere, we want to do it. It's just they just are very difficult in our town without having to buy a lot of right of way.
ODOT, on a project I'm working on, looked at the last 10 roundabouts that ODOT had constructed. On average, they cost about $6.5 million.
Okay.
On average.
Each.
Yes. Yeah. Each.
Yeah. Yeah. 10 for $6.5 million.
The most expensive was $8.5 million, and I think the cheapest was $2.5 million in Eastern Oregon. And so they're and the, when they also looked at the last 10 signals that were constructed, and they averaged about $1.5 million. So from that urban standpoint, that's just kind of a rule of thumb that we've been providing.
Well, I think going back to our criteria, if we're looking at that, you know, traffic, the yeah. flow and queuing and all of that, I mean, if we did have, say, a really great solution and it was a roundabout or whatever, but it was, it's a little bit more than what we typically would do. I mean, for me, that's the trade-off, is you get that queuing reduced and flow and,
Would it be helpful if we looked at a multi-lane roundabout at Edgewater and
sure.
Dallas? Is that
yeah.
kind of what you're...
Or wherever you think.
Or wherever you think. Yeah. It just seems like that might be a...
That certainly is a frustrating intersection, and I think it causes a lot of our problems. So
it might also be, I don't know if this is possible either, and it might not be necessary, but that Edgewater Patterson, I could see something. Mm-hmm. Although it's tight there, too. But
the other thing I don't think I saw on the list anywhere, I might be able to be swept up under one of the general ideas, but the elimination of north-south traffic like on, say, High Street and other streets during peak hours? Is there that's something we've talked about, I've talked about? I just want to make sure that that gets looked at or considered. If that's a helpful, you know, just say there's, you know, these, during certain hours, there's no north-south on High Street across, you know, Marion Center.
So, yeah, some time of day that doesn't allow turns or...
Right, something, I mean, because it seems like that's where we're starting a lot of our gridlock, is some of those, you know, those streets that aren't right at the bridge, but they're, you know...
Okay. Yeah, I think we had talked about this before, but, yeah, I think it would be interesting to evaluate at Marion and High. So right now, you go southbound on High, and you hit Marion, and you hit a light, and there's a lane, it's a through lane, and then there's a right-only lane, and then there's a northbound lane. But if we could look at something where you're limited on Marion Street from going south, and maybe it's just one lane is limited from going south, or maybe there's a perpetual right at certain times of day, or maybe everything's just limited going south along High during certain times of day. But essentially to keep that flow going onto the Marion Street Bridge, I think I would be interested in looking at that. I don't know how the mall would feel about that.
They have sky bridges.
They have sky bridges, yeah. They park somewhere.
They park a lot.
Is there anything else?
I think we're in good shape. Just pointing out the schedule, because we shifted the meeting in March, we do need to find a date in July for recommendations. I don't, from the conversation, see a need for the May 4th meeting. That would just be to answer more questions around the existing or future conditions, and I think we've had time today.
Yeah.
That. Yes, yeah, that was just if we didn't quite.
Okay. So I think we don't need to meet on March 4th.
May 4th.
May 4th, sorry. It's early.
So our next meeting will be May 18th.
May 18th. Okay. And dial in for that last date in July.
Okay. We'll have staff call you for a meeting in July.
Okay. I'm really interested to see the screening results. Interesting. Any other questions about the schedule or the process?
I guess more of a process question. If we have ideas that are not within our primary criteria, like, for example, I think Councilor Lewis has maybe talked about this too, is having at Wall Spring Park, there's the parking lots, and having basically a place where you could park your car during the day and then walk over if you work in downtown, and having that available. I know it's not going to get at our primary criteria, but it is something that is like a soft thing that we could offer to get kind of people, you know, they could park there and then go use this alternative mode. Where would we put those types of ideas? And they're not necessarily going to evaluate, because you can't necessarily evaluate that through modeling and, oh, I mean, you could, but anyways. But it's,
so you're basically thinking of infrastructure as a park and ride.
Right. If we have those parking types lock. Of ideas, yeah, park and walk, park and bike, whatever. But if we have those types of ideas, which are more of your, I guess, a facility, can we capture that in some way? Somewhere through this process?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think
we won't necessarily evaluate them, because there's a specific scope that we're paying them, but I think it is important to have those captured, and I mean, for example, that's an idea that we're already thinking about, and you know, it just makes a lot of sense. It's just, how do we manage it, and what do we do? But yes, we can capture those, and there could be some of those that we just attempt to implement irrespective of.
Yeah.
And some of those things we've actually talked about on the transit committee, where we're working with transit.
So it'd be nice for those to be able to, like, if we are in agreement, for them to go to council to say, you know, here's these primary things, but here's some other ideas that would be fairly low cost and we think would also help.
Right. I mean, I say as a task force, you have the capacity to make, you know, recommendations that would totally be addressing that, as to, you know, hard numbers about exactly how many individuals would do that would take a level of survey and follow-up that is
we're not
in the scope, but as a concept and as an idea, absolutely.
You know, it could be as simple as a sign right now, they're there's a parking lot, gravel parking lot, on the west end of the railroad bridge that is very underutilized. And I've heard people don't want to park there because they don't want to get a ticket. In fact, you can park there and walk across the bridge, go to work and walk back. You won't get a ticket, but there's no sign. And if there was a sign saying there's a parking frame too.
Simple improvements, yeah. And let people know.
Do we need to plan on more time for our next meeting, do you think, to go through all of those things, or do you think that's going to be sufficient amount of time?
Yeah, it just depends. Like, I'm going to keep you guys on it.
Yeah, I think that's all, that's really all we're going to need to do at that meeting, so.
We're going to have two meetings to, looks like, tier one screening. What do you mean by tier one, tier two?
So, the tier one, I don't know if you remember on the mobility study, we came back and kind of provided high level. So we're not doing any detailed traffic simulation. Because there's so many alternatives and we have a short amount of time. So we're going to, I mean, there's a higher level that we're going to do from a cost set. And then once you say, okay, based on those results, here are the two favorites or here are the three favorites, then we're going to go to that next meeting. We'll narrow it down and then we'll come back with detailed evaluation.
If you did need a 2-hour meeting, I could make that work personally. That would be fun. But I don't know about other members.
We can always schedule for a little longer to make sure we have enough time.
It might be nice to have just the extra time. I mean, really.
The intent of that meeting is to narrow it down to three. Right. So there could be, I mean, we may need an hour, but you may need a lot of time
to discuss
within the task force
We're talking about May 18th.
Yes.
That one not so helpful.
And just like these meetings, because we've got such a tight time frame, we are bringing the materials to you at the meeting. And so the ability to, at the meeting, be both looking at them, understanding what Scott is explaining, and decision making. It's just being prepared to do that is part of the
If you can give us a preview on anything, it would be helpful. There's something to get done ahead of time, if we could have it ahead, you know, to digest it a little bit before the meeting.
If it's the night before or the day before.
Right.
But having the time at the meeting to
that would probably help.
Is a good solution, so we'll try to.
The 18th,
I can extend on
I can 18th extend.
Also.
Okay. Great. Any other questions before we conclude? All right.
I'm interested to see.
Thank you
for your feedback. All
right.
Okay, we're
adjourned.
Thanks.
Mayor Bennett said you'd really like to know the data by the individual bridges. And so here's the data. It has both the combined and the individual.
The front page is combined, the back and the two are the individual.
Thank you. Here's the PowerPoint.
Okay. If you want
It's long term. More than 5 years.
You know, it was really what Scott presented, because I needed that sort of the lanes. Hey, just get the traffic around.
I can't wait for those games.
Right, and they were like, and then it was like signals and timing. You know, it really did fall into these categories that we presented.
Good, Bob.
I'm all right. It was super thoughtful.
Hanging in.
I was so impressed.
Curl. You were CC'd on that conversation between Norm and I just, where we were just, we just had, you know, from the neighborhood there, we were just looking at a couple of last minute details, and so that went very positive. Wanted to make sure you were copied.
I saw them, but I haven't read them. I've been stabbing my ear.
Well, the issue was, we were just trying to resolve a couple of design standard issues, and that's why we got that done.
Good, okay. I grew up there, and I remember when I first saw a new roundabout. I mean, they worked really well, but let me tell you, I was shocked, especially when you see
a residential property
to one another, because people that are actually going.